Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
So we're in the fifth and final week of our first series for the fall season. Next week, we begin an exciting new series. It's called Good News, and it's all about good news, the best news of all the best news ever. It's going to be a fun and inspiring series for sure, really the perfect kind of series to invite a friend or family member who doesn't have a church to our church, or to join us online for this series. In this series, which we're wrapping up today, we've been talking about money. Money, it's part of life. It's inescapable, it's undeniable, and perhaps for that reason we have so many emotions, even conflicting emotions, negative emotions about it. Worry, stress, guilt, jealousy, are just some of the emotions we experience when it comes to money. It turns out, we've learned in the course of this series, Jesus understood money. Jesus understood money and its place in our lives, and he wants us to get money right. That's why he talked about it all the time, more than any other topic. He talked about money all the time because he knows how much stress and tension it causes in our lives and our relationships. He talked about money all the time because he knew how easily worry and concern for it dominates our thoughts and directs our lives. He talked about money all the time because he knows how love for it can hold our hearts. Jesus understood the real value and the proper place money should have in our lives. And that's why we've taken some time in the course of this series to look at the fact that we're stewards. The money in our hands doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. The money is God's money. But Jesus does encourage us to use God's money in our own strategic best interest. In our own strategic best interest by giving. Giving it away. Because there's a long-term value to giving that money doesn't have. That's actually an underlying theme of this whole series. There's a long-term value to giving that money doesn't have. By the way, if you've missed any or all of this series, or you know someone who might like to hear it or need to hear it, you can find the entire series on demand on our website or our amazing new app. As we wrap up today, we're going to look into the future. You know, often when you talk about the future and money, there are two kinds of responses that are not helpful, that get us off track. One is just fear and anxiety about the future, not having enough money. And the other is just closing our eyes and hoping for the best that everything works out. Neither is helpful, because we need to both plan for our future and trust that God will be a part of it, because God is part of your future. God has a vision for your future, including a vision for your money. And what I hope to accomplish in the next few minutes is to convince you of that and challenge you, at least a little, to engage in that vision. Proverbs tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where we have no vision for our lives, we struggle, we stumble, we fall. Where there is vision, we thrive, we succeed, we move forward. As Christ followers, we need to grasp that. We need to grab hold of God's vision for the whole of our lives, including money. And to do it, we're going to look at a passage from a book of the Bible called Habakkuk. I love this book of the Bible. It's one of my favorites. And I love this passage from Habakkuk because it was a guiding verse for our recent capital campaign that built this church, the Vision Campaign. Habakkuk was a prophet who lived about 600 years before Christ. He lived in a time of great turmoil and under the threat of constant violence and unrest. Habakkuk looks at his troubling times, and he is troubled. And he complains to God about all these troubles. Did you know that it is okay to complain to God in prayer? It's perfectly okay. He can take it. He really can. In fact, if for some people, if they made all their complaining into prayer, they'd be praying all the time. They'd be like prayer warriors. Anyway, the prophet complains in his prayer. He says, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why? Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery, destruction, and violence before me? There's strife and discord and clamorous discord. How long, O Lord?" Habakkuk sees all these problems in the world, and they bother him. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're looking at problems in the world these days, and they bother you. Maybe they bother you in a way that they don't even bother the people around you. You feel burdened by violence in West Baltimore, or discord in Washington, D.C., or poverty in third world countries. Many of us here in this church are burdened by the problems that the larger Catholic Church seems crippled by, or the fact that so many parishes out there are falling and failing in their mission to do what the church has established them to do. We see problems in the world, and we get frustrated or afraid. We can wonder, where's God? Why doesn't he do anything about it? That's Habakkuk. That's how he felt. But he does something more than complain. He makes a resolve. He says, "I will stand at my guard post and station myself upon the rampart. I will keep watch to see what they will say to me and what answer God will give to my complaint." Habakkuk complains for sure, but he positions himself strategically so that he can listen for God's response and actually hear that response when it comes above the clamor and chaos around him. Habakkuk believes God will respond. Now, God has a vision for how he wants to use you and the resources he's given you. But you have to believe that too and take steps to lend yourself to listen and learn. If you position yourself to listen to him through a daily quiet time that you're dedicated to, you will learn from him. That's what happened to Habakkuk. Habakkuk believes God will speak, and God speaks to him. The Lord said, "Write down the vision clearly on tablets so that it can be read, so that one can read it readily." The Lord says, I have a vision for you, and I actually want you to write it down. I want you to literally write it down so you're committed to it. Write it down so you don't forget it. Write it down so you can carry it with you wherever you go. Because, and here's the verse that we used in the campaign, the vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. If we're listening, if we're learning, God's vision for our lives presses on to its fulfillment, and it will come to be, at least in God's time. So what is God's vision for your future? What is God's vision for your financial future? That could take on as many different details and directions as there are people here in this sanctuary. But allow me to just suggest three, broadly speaking, for your consideration. And as you consider, and for your homework this week, choose a category that best describes or defines or best describes you, or define a different one, if you like, and write it down. Write it down as explicitly as you can, just the way God instructed Habakkuk to write down the vision. We've got postcards that you can grab on your way out today and use. Write it down. For instance, one vision God might have for your finances is to get out of debt. Maybe you're struggling financially because of student loans or credit card debt or car debt. You're not giving anything to anybody because you can't, because you've already spent all your money on yourself. Or maybe you're not exactly in a lot of debt, but you've spent yourself into a place where you have absolutely no financial margin. And as a result, you have no financial discretion. And that creates stress and tension in your life and your marriage, among other problems. If that's you, no worries, no fears, no judgment, and no guilt, because many of us have been there. I know I have. What's past is past, but maybe, maybe God's vision for your future is freedom from debt and a solid financial footing. If that's your vision, write it down. And if that's your vision, we can actually help you out, practically speaking. Once again, this January, we'll be offering Financial Peace University, which is a 9-week class on personal finances that a lot of people have found quite helpful. We also offer one-on-one coaching classes anytime throughout the year. You can stop by the Next Steps kiosk on the concourse after Mass to learn more. There's a nominal fee for the class. The coaching is free. Another vision God might have for your life, a second category of people would be people who are, in fact, on solid financial footing, maybe even with some margin in their finances. But they've discovered a desire deep in their heart that they didn't even know, a desire to live a life of simplicity. Not poverty, simplicity. A simplicity that mirrors, if only modestly, the simplicity of St. Francis of Assisi or Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You've come to a point in your life where God is calling you to a different lifestyle, a lifestyle that is characterized by simplicity in how you approach the whole of your life. Or perhaps it's a specific simplicity in some specific area of your life, some specific area of your spending. Maybe it's your clothes and how you dress, or your diet and dining, or activities and entertainment and travel choices. A simplicity that allows margin for greater giving. If that's the vision God has on your heart, write it down and ask God what He wants you to do with it. Maybe that simplicity that you choose could be when it comes to your work and income. God's vision for you is to leave a higher paying job and work for a not-for-profit at a lower salary. There are people on our staff right now who have left higher paying jobs to come and work for our parish and in the process adjusted to a lower salary. I've said before, we're committed to paying our staff the very best salaries that we can, and we're committed to continue to build up staff salaries. But that said, there are people working here who have made more money elsewhere, and they've made a deliberate choice to be here. And maybe that's you. You know, we have job openings currently here at the parish. You can check it out on our app or website, and that could be your next step. Another vision God might have for your life is a third category or class of people who are comfortable financially or on a trajectory to become comfortable. In the next 5 to 10 years, you'll be making far more than, or you will have amassed far more than most people ever make or save. Some of you are already there. You are comfortable. A lot of people would call you wealthy, but I'm not going to call you wealthy because most people don't want to be called wealthy. Everybody thinks that wealthy people are people who have more money than they do. Nobody thinks they're wealthy, so I'll just call you comfortable. But let's face it, you're good with money. You're great with money. You know how to make it. You know how to save it. You know how to spend it. You just know what to do with money. And if you're great in all those ways with money, you have the right stuff to be a great giver too. Think about what God is calling you to in the future. What's God's vision for you? To put it another way, what is the legacy God wants you to leave behind? Your ability when it comes to money could establish a legacy, not only for your family, which is certainly a wonderful thing, but even beyond, to have an impact in the community or through the church. The very best way to do this is to be thoughtful and deliberate about it, choosing the charity that touches your heart. Take a card and write it down, and then write down what it would feel like. What it would feel like to see that vision come to fruition, to make that vision happen. What would it feel like to get out of debt and live free from fear and confident about the future? What would it feel like to embrace some simplicity and in the margin to give more away? What would it feel like to shape and leave a legacy? Write it down, because the vision has an appointed time. It will surely come in God's time, which is the perfect time. You know, bottom line for this whole series as we wrap up today, and the guiding principle to getting it right when it comes to money, is to place it in the context of our Christian discipleship, our relationship with Jesus Christ, our walk with the Lord, because how we follow Jesus goes hand in hand with how we handle money.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.